Welcome to the ministry of Barefoot Church. I'm Clay Neesmith, the pastor here at Barefoot Church. And man, we hope what you experience here today will encourage you, motivate you, and inspire you in a great, great way. All right. It is good to see you here today. And I know it's been a challenging few days for some of us. We've been shut in the incredible South Carolina snowstorm, ice storm, right? You fought your way out, made it here today. Come on, somebody. Awesome. And I hope it didn't hinder you a whole lot over the last couple of days. And I am glad you're here today. And I believe that God is going to speak to us if we would allow him to do so, if we would open our heart. You know, God is always into planting the seed of his word in your heart to do amazing things and grow our faith and help us move towards our God potential. But it all is on the receiving end of our part. God's always going to do what he says he will do. In other words, he'll plant the good seed, is what he said in one of the parables. But it's the condition of our heart oftentimes that doesn't receive that good word and we don't move forward. So I invite you today to soften your heart, let those walls come down. Let God do the amazing and open the gates to all he has in store for you today. If you have your Bibles with you, I'm going to invite you to open it up to Exodus chapter 6. And we're going to kind of walk through a story today about some people known as the Israelites in the scripture and how they came out of 400 years of slavery. And God made them four major promises while they were in slavery, in bondage, while they were captivated by the Egyptian army and the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And God made them four promises. And in those four promises, God makes some I will statements in Exodus chapter 6. And I want us to embrace these I will statements today because, you know, as the Israelites begin to embrace these statements, they were basically God saying, I'm going to open up my gates to your potential if you're willing to step into them by faith. And what we find in this story is they stepped into some of the promises, but some of the other promises God made, they didn't get to enjoy those promises. And my goal is for you and I, as the people of God who have been called out of darkness into the wonderful light, the church who have believed in the finished work of Christ, for us not to just step into some of the promises, but step into all the promises God has made to us. You know, Jesus made a promise in John 10:10. He said in John 10:10 that I came to give people life and give it to them to the full, the abundant life. A life that was overflowing. And that's a promise that Jesus, our King, has given us. But again, it takes faith to step into those promises. Let's look at the promises God made these people in Exodus chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. God says this. He says, you can be sure that I have heard the groans of the people of Israel who are now slaves to the Egyptians. He says, and I am well aware of my covenant, my promises, my covenant with them. In other words, I'm not a God of confusion. I'm not a God who forgets what I promise or who bows out on what I promise. I'm a God who fulfills everything that I say that I'm going to do. How many of you know that God will always do exactly what he says he will do? Come on, somebody. And it goes on to say this in verse 6. God says, therefore, Moses, say to the people of Israel, I am the Lord. I will free you from your oppression, and I will rescue you from the slavery in Egypt. There's the first promise. I will free my people. Okay? Here's the second one. I will redeem you with a powerful arm and great acts of judgment. There's God's second promise. I'm going to free you, and I'm going to redeem you with my strong arm with great acts of judgment. He goes on to say this in verse 7. Here's the third promise. I will claim you as my own people, and I will be your God. And then you will know that I am the Lord your God who has freed you from your oppression in Egypt. So I'm going to claim you as my own people. There's the third promise. Here's the fourth one. He goes on to say, he says, I will bring you into the land I swore to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He says, I will give it to you as your very own possession. I am the Lord. This land that God had promised them was a land known in some parts of the Bible as a land flowing with milk and honey. In other words, it was a land filled with abundance. And God says, I'm going to give it to you people after I bring you out of slavery. I'm going to bring you out of something and I'm going to take you in to this land filled with abundance. Remember, Jesus promised us the abundant life. And the Bible tells us that what Jesus has done is he has freed us from being enslaved to sin, and he's also taken us out of that oppression. He's redeemed us with his powerful arm, just like he did these people. He's taken us on a journey. He is making us into his very own people, just like God did these people. And he is moving us into the abundant life, the life filled with everything we could ever need for fulfilling his purpose. And so those are four promises that God gives the people of Israel in Egypt, but those promises are applicable to us today as the church, because the Bible says this Israelite journey is to teach us something about our own journey with God. So here's what God does. He opens the gate, and let me show you where he begins to do it in Exodus chapter 14. He does what he says he's going to do, and he basically begins to part the Red Sea so that these people can move past their captivity. And here's the account of where God does it. It's in Exodus chapter 14, says it this way. Moses raised his hand over the sea, and the Lord opened up a path through the water with a strong east wind. The wind blew all the night, turning the seabed into dry land. So the people of Israel walked through the middle of the sea on dry ground and the walls of water on each side. So imagine, it's like a big gate. They're leaving one area where they were held bondage, held as slaves. And all of a sudden, God opens this amazing gate with the sea walls open, allows the people to walk through that gate. And guess what? God fulfills the promise that he said. He says, I'm going to free you from slavery if you'll step by faith through this place, through these gates, into the promise that I have given you. And the people did it. They stepped by faith. They moved through the dry ground where God said. And then what God does is he shuts the gate on the enemy. He fulfills his second promise. He brings a strong arm, a judgment against Pharaoh in the Egyptian's army. Let me show you where that is. It's found in Exodus chapter 14, a few verses later, verses 27 and 28. The Bible says, once the people get to the other side and the sun begins to rise, Moses raised his hand over the sea again, and the water rushed back into its usual place. The Egyptians, they tried to escape because they were pursuing God's people, but the Lord swept them into the sea. And the Bible says, then the waters returned and covered all the chariots and charioteers, the entire army of Pharaoh, all the Egyptians who had chased the Israelites into the sea, not a single one of them survived. And so there, God fulfills his second promise to Israel again, and they embrace it by faith. They watch God do this miraculous thing. He brings his strong arm against the enemy, and guess what? The enemy is swallowed up in the Red Sea. In other words, they're stepping through the gates that God has opened into their potential. But right here, they stalemate because they fail to begin to continue to exercise their faith. And I want to bring this out today because I think lots of times we allow God to do what he says he's going to do, like free us from our sin. But the reason many of us never enter into the promised land, into the abundant life, into the life that is overflowing, is because just like these Israelite people, We get stuck and we begin to do loops with our life instead of continuing to move forward with our life. The Israelites are set, man. God has done what he said he was going to do, right? He frees them, sets them free. Over a million people, he sets them free. They get to the other side. He swallows up the enemy in the sea. And he's like, now you have to do is keep stepping with me by faith. And guess what? I'm going to fulfill those other two promises in a powerful, powerful way. I'm going to move you into the promised land, the land of provision. But most of these people never entered this land that God said that he was going to give them because they ended up doing loops with their life. They ended up doing circles with their life. Anybody ever got loopy before? Yeah. You know what I've discovered is what makes us loopy is when something alters our thinking. Maybe you get hit in the head. My brother punched me in the head back in the day, and I got real loopy. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he knocked me all the way out. I hit the ground. When I woke up, I was loopy, okay? I was just kind of staggering around, and I didn't know what direction to go in, what was going on. And all of us get loopy occasionally in life. And so why did these people, you know, why am I referring to them getting loopy? Because of what the Bible tells us in Joshua chapter 5, verse 6, as I set this up today, for you and I to move forward, step through the gates, and not get loopy with our life. Listen to what it says, Joshua chapter 5, verse 6. It says the Israelites that God had delivered, they had traveled in the wilderness for 40 years. That's a long time, my friends, 40 years. They had traveled in the wilderness for 40 years. This should have been a two-week journey from slavery to the promised land. But the Bible says they spent 40 years doing circles in the wilderness, just kind of being loopy in the wilderness. It says, and the Bible goes on to say, until all the men who were old enough to fight in the battle when they left Egypt had died. For they had disobeyed the Lord, and the Lord vowed he would never let them enter into the land he had sworn to give them, a land flowing with milk and honey, that particular generation. God's going to fulfill his promises. He's going to do what he says he would do. But why did these guys embrace, let's call it, two of God's promises, but they failed to walk with God and he be their God and they be his people and they failed to enter the promised land? Why did they get loopy? Can I tell you, it's what got in their heads that what is what blocked what God had spoken to their hearts. And that's what happens to us too. What gets in our head blocks what God has spoken to our hearts. And I need you to know God has written his word from front to back to speak to your heart, to open up your heart for all the promises he has in store for you as a people, for us as a people. But what happens a lot of times, things get in our head, make us loopy, and we miss the promises. We do circles. And some of us do circles for 40 years and we don't step towards those amazing promises because it requires something to engage with God's promises. It's called faith. Everybody say faith. That means you have to put faith in what God has said and you have to step towards it because you believe God fully. God is who he says he is and he will always do what he says he's going to do. However, things get in our head and we stop walking by faith. We start walking by sight. What I see is what I believe over what God has said. I see the resistance against my life. And what I'm doing is I'm not believing anymore what God said, so I'm not going to step into the promise, though God said I could have an abundant life. I see something in the way, and that something in the way stalemates me because it gets in my head and causes stinking thinking. It begins to make me loopy. I just do circles with my life. I just make loops with my life. These people made loops for 40 years because, you know what? They got things in their head that cause stinking thinking. And they miscalculated what God could do. They began to believe what they saw. And it happened real shortly after they watch God do these two amazing feats for them, free them from slavery, open that gate, snuff out the enemy, close that gate so they could turn and move forward their life and enter the promised land. What happens is 1 month later, the Bible tells us in Exodus chapter 16, that they begin to basically complain because they begin to not believe that God could do what he said he was going to do. They begin to fuss. 1 month. 1 month after they saw God do these miracles, they begin to let what they saw stalemate them from what God said. My friends, I see this happen in the world of church all the time. People get freed from the penalty of sin. They put their faith, their trust, their belief in Jesus Christ. Happens all drastically on Easter weekends and things like that. We share about the resurrection of Christ and how Christ has come to forgive us of our sin so we no longer have to be held in bondage. We can walk into freedom, into this abundant life. And people say, I want that. I want that. I put my faith, I put my trust in Jesus. And so, you know what? God does what he says he's going to do through Christ Jesus. He opens that gate. We step into freedom. He snuffs out and says, look, the enemy no longer has any authority in your life. Did you know when you put your faith, your trust in Jesus, the enemy no longer has any authority in your life? Come on, somebody. But that doesn't mean you're not going to face any battles along the journey. Because, see, there's always going to be battles because there are powers of darkness. And let me tell you where the powers of darkness work. They work in your head. They make you loopy. And they're trying to hold you back from your God potential. And lots of times that darkness comes to our life because of disbelief in our own hearts. And we begin to basically revert back to saying, you know what? I want to go back to where I came from. See, that was the problem with the Israelites. That's what began to make them loopy. Look what it says in Numbers chapter 11, verse 20. They began to fuss about, you know, what God was doing or not doing in their life or doing in their life. And the Bible says in Numbers 11, 20, God says this, for you have rejected the Lord who is here among you. I am with you. And you have whined to him saying, why did we ever leave Egypt? Wow. God says, you know what? You become loopy. And all you're doing is looking back to when you were in Egypt. Do you not remember crying out in Egypt for the hand of the Lord to come into your life and do something miraculous? And I did. And I freed you from the bondage of sin. I swallowed the enemy. He no longer has authority in your life. He got swallowed up by what I did at the cross is what Jesus wants to tell you today. I resurrected from the grave. Death didn't win over my life. I defeated death. I resurrected from the grave. I am who I say that I am. Why would you not trust me by faith? He no longer has authority over your life. But what we do is we continue to say, well, I want to go back to Egypt. I want to go back to the way it used to be. I want to keep looking back. I want to keep looking back. My friend, if you keep looking back, you're going to get loopy and you can never move forward. See, come on. And God has called you from the front of this room to the back of this room, there online, to move forward with your life. He is not into you just doing circles and not stepping through the door of opportunity. What makes us do circles is basically what gets in our head. You know, yesterday I went into my wife's little place where she watches TV, and I went in there and I was like doing little circles. And she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm getting loopy. And she's like, you are loopy. She's like, there's the door, get out of it. And I'm like, I can't. Because I've just been doing these circles with my life and I can't move forward. I can't see the door. Anybody ever got dizzy before? Yeah. And more or less, I need to declare to you today, that's what the enemy wants to do in your life, is make you dizzy, make you loopy, make you not want to believe God in all that he says he's going to do. And so he'll begin to get you to chase these random thoughts, you know, around and around and around. I want to go back to Egypt. You know, it was good in Egypt. If you study the passage in Exodus chapter 16, these people were like, well, at least we could sit around a campfire. We had a couple of pots of meat around a campfire. Here, we don't have any food. You know what God told them? Well, you failed to believe that I could sustain you and take you into the promise. And, you know, What I'm doing is I'm really testing your faith. Have you ever thought about this? God will test your faith all the way along the journey in small things. Listen up to see if you're ready for the big thing. Because I want to declare to you today, you can't handle the abundant life, the full life, the promised life that God promises his people, if you don't prepare yourself to trust God every step of the way in the wilderness. God was willing to provide food for these people, but because they so disbelieved in his provision, he says, here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna put so much food in front of you, you're gonna eat so much that you're gonna throw up. And you're gonna be wishing that you're gonna say that I'm not a God that will supply every one of your needs. I'm gonna give you so much you're gonna throw up and you're not gonna wanna go back to Egypt. You're gonna get sick at your stomach and you're gonna realize that I am a God who can provide and do amazing, amazing things. So sometimes I've discovered that God will bless me so much in my life because I keep wanting and wanting and wanting. He's like, you want? All right, I'm gonna give. Watch this, so you will see that you don't need. See, what a lot of us think is we need something, and it's really a want. And God will fulfill that want, and he'll give it in such an abundance a way that we'll realize that we need him more than we need the stuff and the things in life. And so if you're wanting to go back to the way it used to be, I got to declare to you today, God has so much more out in front of you, but he's going to require that you walk by faith and stop looking back at what you used to have, how it used to be, what it was way back then. You have to trust God, obey him, walk by faith, stop looking back. Another thing that makes people loopy is this, that they listen to the wrong voices. See, the Bible says that God said, look, that land, that promise, he done fulfilled two of his promises. That promise over there that I've given these people, it's there. And so what I'm going to do, I'm going to send 12 spies into that land to bring back a report to all the people, the million plus people. I'm going to put 12 spies there so they can bring back the report and say, you know what, it is what God says it is. And so God tells Moses, hey, pick 12 spies and let them go in and see the land. If you study the context of the story, they go in, they see a land of abundance. The Bible says there was incredible fruit there. There was all kinds of provision there because that's what the abundant life is, truly God's provision. It's God fulfilling and providing everything you need. So many people think the abundant life in this story represents a picture of heaven, but it's not a picture of heaven. It's a picture of the full life that Jesus came to give us. And it's a big difference because there's still battles that happen once they get into the abundant life. There's battles in the wilderness. And again, there's always going to be battles, but the enemy has no authority in your life. And so they're headed towards this. God says, you tell them to go see. It is what I say it is. And then the 12 spies came back to give the report to God's people. And can I tell you something? The people got discouraged. The people in general, the Israelite people, stopped moving forward. They did loops in a desert for 40 years because they listened to the wrong voices. Let me show you that account in Numbers chapter 13, I believe it is. Says it this way. Says, in verse 25, after exploring the land for 40 days, the spies, they returned. Then it goes on to say, in verse 30 of Numbers 13, Now, Caleb, one who was bringing a good report, he tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. And he says, let's go and take the land. And he said, we can certainly conquer it. We can embrace it. We can do what God said, because God said it, he'll do it. It is what God said, and God's gonna do what he says he's gonna do. He's gonna give it to us. But the other men who had explored the land with him, they disagreed. We can't go up against them. They are stronger than we are. So they spread this bad report about the land among the Israelites. The land we traveled through and explored will devour anyone who goes to live there. All the people we saw, they were huge. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Next to them, hey, we felt like grasshoppers, and that's what they thought too. Goes on to say in Numbers 14, the whole community began weeping aloud, and they cried all night. Their voices rose in a great chorus and a protest against Moses and Aaron, the leaders. If only we had died in Egypt, or even here in the wilderness, they complained. Why is the Lord taking us to this country only to have us die in battle? Our wives and our little ones will be carried off as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to return to Egypt? And then they plotted among themselves, let's choose a new leader and go back to Egypt. Again, the majority of the people listened to the wrong voices, the report, the bad report from the 10 spies. And can I tell you? If we don't learn how to listen first and foremost to the voice of our Creator and our great God and our King Jesus, it will be easy to listen to the majority's bad report about what we can't do. Because what happens in this journey towards the abundant life, there will be things that come into our life, into our community, and begin to basically say, you can't embrace what God says. In other words, there's things trying to shut the gate on the full life that God and Jesus came to give us. But what happens is we begin to believe those things and those voices when, you know, the majority of the people say, we can't have this, you know, we can't have that. It won't do this. It won't do that. What we have to do is we have to remember the mission that God has called us to. And we have to stay on mission because he promised he would provide everything we need to fulfill his purpose in this earth. And I believe that with all of my heart. But what happens a lot of times, we begin to think of just our personal needs and our things, and we begin to listen to the wrong voices instead of listening to people say to you, look, you can get up and move forward. We can do this. We can continue to march. We can, you know, move into the promised land. We begin to listen to all the excuses and complaints. And my friends, that will make you loopy. It will make you crazy. You need to learn what voice to listen to. And if Joshua could say it this way, he said it this way in Joshua's at the end of his life. He says, as for me and my house, we will choose to serve the Lord. He says, but on this day, at least choose something so you won't walk around crazy. Get on one side of the fence or the other. Because the reality of it is we need to learn to operate out of a foundation of truth and not whatever opinion or falls out of the sky is said. And I invite you to go to the Word of God because it is truth. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to this Father except through me. And build your life on that foundation and trust what he has said. Make him be the foundation of your faith. The majority can tell you all kinds of things. You know, you can find anything on Google, anything. You can find people who hate you, you can find people who love you. But you gotta learn what voices to listen to and stay in your lane and live by the power of that voice. Because all things are trying to distract you always. Things try to pull me off of my game all the time, my feelings, what I see, all kinds of things do. But I have to go back and not listen to the wrong voices, but I have to listen to the voice of my great God. And my friends, I don't know how he's called you to participate, but I know he's called you to participate. That's why I don't mind standing here and telling you, you know what, you need to get up and do something with the local church. Because it's how you're going to win in life. It's how you're going to be who God has created you to be, because God said it. God said, I'm going to build a church that the gates of hell will not prevail against, the gates of hell cannot shut down. And so I believe that promise. I believe what Jesus has said. So I invite you to be a part of his church and do your part. And a lot of people are like, well, you know, why do you want me to do it? Because God said, do it. And I don't know any other way to say it. God said, you get to involve, participate, and do something with your life. And people are like, well, I know you said it. Did God say it? Yeah, God said it. Matter of fact, he said it this way. He said, you are my masterpiece, created anew in Christ Jesus. So you can do the good works I created for you to do before the foundations of the world. So that means God has a good work for you and me to do together. And he is creating this wonderful, incredible masterpiece. And he's not just creating it out of me. I'm just a stroke of the pen on the great canvas of art that God is painting. But together, we are God's masterpiece. And we're created anew in Christ Jesus so we can get off our duff and do some stuff and do the good work he created for us to do before the foundations of the world. And again, that's the voice of God. Because it comes from the word of God, and he challenges you to embrace the promise and step through the gate. The last thing I wrote down is what makes us loopy is not only listening to the wrong voices, but also disunity and disobedience. There's another passage where God begins to advance what he said he's gonna do and help them embrace the promised land. And the Bible says now it's led by a leader named Joshua. But one of the first things God commands them is to set themselves apart, cross over another river. And then he commands them to march around some walls, the walls of Jericho. You probably heard the story before. He commands them to march around the walls and watch the walls fall. And oftentimes I said, why in the world would God say, march around the walls of Jericho seven times? Can I tell you what marching does? You have to get in sync. You have to unify to march. And so what God was doing was unifying the people as they marched around the walls. And again, by faith, they were trusting God and they were unifying themselves to do what God has said. But what happens oftentimes is disunity and will begin to enter and filter. And when things are disunified, they're really divided. It's multiple ideas and multiple thoughts. It's a multi-head monster. And so I invite you to listen to the word of God and be a part of what God's doing in the world. But again, it's not like anything goes, everything goes, whatever wants goes. It's like, you know, unify, let's march to the same drumbeat. Let's be a part of God's great vision and step into the promise together. Because it's not just about me having an abundant life. It's about us having an abundant life. But the way we as a community, as a people, are going to experience the abundant life is for us to be challenged and unify. And let's not be disobedient to God, but march to the drumbeat of who God is and what God has said. Look what happens here again. In Joshua chapter 5, verse 6, the Bible says this. It says, the Israelites had traveled in the wilderness for 40 years. It should have been a two-week journey to get to this promise for 40 years. Until all the men who were old enough to fight in battle when they left Egypt had died. In other words, they had been disobedient. For they had disobeyed the Lord is what the scripture said. And the Lord vowed that he would not let them enter the land. He had sworn to give us a land flowing with milk and honey. In other words, God said he was going to give it to the people, and God did. But this group of people for 40 years did loops in a desert and died in the desert. They didn't get to experience the land with milk and honey because they refused to have faith in what God had said. The Bible says they were disobedient. You know what disobedience is? It's simply not being obedient to what the word of God has put into your heart. And what the word of God has put into our heart through Christ Jesus in this day and age, after the cross, after the ascension of Christ, after, you know, Christ is sitting on the throne in heaven, is that Jesus came to be the visible image of an invisible God. He came in the flesh. He is God in the flesh. And my friends, he came to free us from the power of sin, of bondage, of being held captive in darkness. And he came to let us be free, and he swallowed up the enemy. And Jesus basically says, the enemy no longer has any authority in your life. Get that out of your head. Get rid of stinking thinking. Now, Jesus says, march through the wilderness, go towards the promise. And you know what? Don't march complaining, being disunified, continuing to want to go back. March, get in unison. Be my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against you. I will give my church everything they need, all fulfilled. I believe it today. I believe it for you. I believe it for me. God may not give us everything we want, but my Bible says God will give you everything you need. You trust God? Do you believe it? Because see, he didn't free you to leave you in the wilderness. He freed you to carry you into the abundant life. But you have to operate by faith and step into it. My friend, maybe you have a need in your life, a true need to fulfill the purpose that God has in your life. And maybe something's blocking that need today. I want you to know that Jesus is ready to come pour out and fulfill that need in your life if you are so ready to believe him by faith and walk towards the promise. He will meet every single need. There is not a hair on your head. There is not a need that goes by that Jesus does not recognize. He is God. The Bible says if he will feed the sparrows of the air, he will feed you and he will feed me. So the problem isn't that God isn't pouring out his blessing to fulfill all of our needs. The problem is something has got in our head and given us stinking thinking, and we don't believe, you know what, by faith that God will do what he says he's gonna do. So I'm inviting you today to not just trust God for forgiveness and step out of sin, but trust God for fulfilling what he says he's gonna do in your life and step into all of it. My friend, it doesn't happen without participation. God isn't a genie, he's God. He's the creator, he's the provider. He's your provision, he's my provision. He will do what he says he's gonna do. He's for people, he is not against us. But my friend, he is about shutting down the powers of darkness and the stinking thinking in people's mind, and he wants us to step towards the promise. Don't leave today not trusting God by faith. He promises four things to the Israelites, and those four things are transferable to you and me. Come out of bondage. Let the strong arm of God come against the enemy. He will be with you every step of the way, and we have to be willing to step into his amazing, abundant life. Trust him all the way along the journey. It's gonna get difficult sometimes. It's gonna be hard. This is the beautiful thing about running with a unit of people, a people that's on the same team, going in the same direction. We can encourage each other, motivate one another. Hey, this is where we're going. We're not going there. I know your life seems to be going there right now, but we're going in this direction because God said it. Why don't you get back on the train and let's go in this direction and see what God can do. Let me pray for you today. God, you're an amazing God. I thank you for every man, woman, boy, and girl here underneath the sound of my voice. And God, I pray today as you open gates and you open them wide, you swing the heavens wide, that God, they would be people here today that would step in to all of your promises. Jesus, yes, you came as the perfect sacrifice to free us from the penalty of sin. You came to basically put an end to the enemy's authority. You said it was finished at that cross. He no longer has authority over our life. And Jesus, you came so that we could know that you are with us, that you are in us, God, by the power of the Holy Spirit. God, I pray we would listen attentively every single day to your amazing promises, and we will walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh. And God, as we walk towards the promised land, God, I pray that we would all experience the abundant life, the fulfilled life, the life of living on purpose with your provision. God, if there is a need to fulfill your purpose in this room today, I don't care what level the need is, God, I pray you would provide. But God, more than that, I pray that the person in the need would believe by faith that you're gonna do it. And God, they would hang on to your amazing promises. Jesus, thank you for being the gate. Thank you for allowing us to step into your amazing love and promises. And God, I pray that we would be a people that step through the open gates of God. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. We hope you were encouraged, motivated, and inspired today by the message. And again, man, we believe in you. We believe great things for you. It's because of many people's faithful giving that we're able to go out around the world. If you choose to invest in Barefoot Church, just go on over to barefootchurch.com. You can give there. But go out, live your purpose, and be inspired in a great, great way.